So here in just a little bit, Andrea and J.D. Erickson are going to be bringing up their son, Corrigan, to do a dedication, a baby dedication. Not only a baby dedication, but they're also dedicating themselves and Corrigan to the development of a home where they will all come to a fuller understanding of Jesus and his plan for their lives. Now, in getting ready for this dedication, I noticed a passage of scripture I normally use for this dedication, and it occurs in all three of the four gospels that we know, and it's just before the triumphal entry, which is really kind of ironic, because last week when I got done with our series, I was kind of like, man, I'm not sure where to go from here right before Easter. And so I had this bright idea that I was going to look at the week just before the triumphal entry and pick a passage of scripture, something that Jesus says, and looked at this week. And ironically, this passage of scripture was in that week right before, actually probably just days before, he went to Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. So I thought, well, this will be easy. A nice, easy passage of scripture that we can look at and do the dedication and all will be good. And I started studying it, and I feel very convicted this morning in a lot of different ways. It's one of those passages that you read so many different times, and you know it, but have you really thought about it? It's Mark chapter 10. Begin at verse 13. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn and look there with me, I'll read it to you. Really popular, really well-known little passage of scripture, especially about children. And everyone likes children. Well, most everyone likes children, right? So here we are in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. The disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That's a nice way of saying Jesus was a little bit perturbed and angry at this moment. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And then he took the children in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. I don't know about you, but I could literally, there's all kinds of different scenes in the Bible that you read, you know, like the walking on the water and all these different things. But this is one of those scenes that you just kind of get this warm, fuzzy feeling in the pit of your stomach, because I can picture this so plainly, that Jesus is walking along, and all of a sudden someone brings this a little child up to him, and he just stops. And he stops, he maybe sits down on a stump somewhere, or sits on a fence, or maybe he just kneels down on the ground, and he has this little child in his arms, and he blesses it. And you can know exactly what happens, because wherever Jesus is at, a crowd starts to gather. And as soon as he does it with one little kid, well, you know the moms. You know how moms are. Well, if he's going to do it with it, all the moms start bringing all the, I can imagine it within just a few minutes, an entire village, an entire town, I can see moms dragging their little, no, bringing their little jar darlings out because they want Jesus to bless them too, because wherever Jesus went, there was a crowd. And I can see this growing bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, something happens in the midst of this wonderful, beautiful, touching, caring scene that just goes poof. The disciples rebuke them. They literally had the nerve and the courage to say to a mom
or a grandma,
you talk about bravery, stop, you can't bring your children to Jesus to be blessed. It seems like just a ridiculous thing, doesn't it? And you know, I've read that passage. I've probably read it at every child dedication I've ever done. And I've never stopped to think about it. What in the world were they thinking? What was in their minds that they were trying to keep kids from coming and being blessed by Jesus? What were they thinking? Were they thinking, well, Jesus is a busy man. He's got a schedule that we need to keep. We need to get on to the next town. They might have been thinking he had people to heal. You know what I'm saying? He might have been thinking he had demons to cast out. He's got these big things that he needs to accomplish today. We can't get in the way with these little kids coming and making a fuss and these moms standing in line and all the things that are going on. Is that what they were thinking? Jesus had crowds to preach to, masses to win. These little kids didn't even understand what he was doing or saying. Why didn't we ever hear the disciples rebuking the Pharisees or the teachers of the law who were coming to Jesus to try to trick him in some way, shape, or form? Why didn't they say, hey, you get out of here. We know what your agenda is. Why didn't we ever see the disciples rebuking the rich young ruler who was coming to justify himself? Okay, why didn't they rebuke the Gentile centurion, the Gentile, who has no business whatsoever being around this Jewish rabbi? Why didn't they rebuke him? If not him, at least the sinful woman who breaks in on the dinner party and cries repentantly and washes Jesus' feet with her hair? Why didn't they rebuke them? Why the little kids and their moms? Could it be they were just kids? They're just kids. They weren't really important. You know, kids really, they can't contribute. I wasn't looking at you guys when I said that. You see, I think there's a little bit of an agenda that the disciples may have had in their mind. They had a predetermined idea of what Jesus was all about. And if you turn the, just in my Bible, it might be in the same page as yours. If you turn the page in my Bible in Mark chapter 10, the very same chapter, in verse 35, it says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he replied. I could go into a story there that really relates to this morning, but if you want to hear that story, come to breakouts after Sunday school, and I'll let you in on my pain. So anyway, so they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory." And he says, "You don't know what you're asking." Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right and at my left is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." You see, I think James and John, I think the rest of the disciples had this, and probably a lot of the people who were following Jesus had this grandiose idea that Jesus was going to be this Messiah who came in and set up the earthly kingdom, who set the Jews free, who set up a power structure like the earth had never seen. And they understood that this Messiah was going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he was going to sit on the throne of David forever, and he was going to rule forever. And they were thinking, man, if he's going to rule forever, I want to be on his right and I want to be on his left. I want to be a part of this power structure that we've got started here. And the only way to make this power structure to get started is to have people that are going to rally around us and lift us up and support us and take care of us and be a part of our cause. And little kids aren't a part of that type of thing. They're just little kids. Right? They had no influence. They weren't able to help Jesus. What could they do? Look at how sadly we look at the disciples and look at what they did and say, That's not good. They shouldn't have done that. Here's where it gets hard. But if we're really honest with ourselves, truly, don't we kind of do the same thing? Now, we're not rebuking children. We're creating programs for them to bring them to Jesus. We're doing all these good things. We're not doing that, but I'm not talking about just children. Sometimes, don't we kind of pick and choose who we reach out to bring to Jesus? Don't we look around? Just take a quick look around. I'm not being mean or anything like that. But we reach out to those who look like us, who think like us, who dress like us, who do the things that we like to do, whom we feel comfortable sitting next to on a Sunday morning. Jesus came for everybody. Everybody. In Romans chapter 6, I think it's there. Is that where I want to go? I don't know that I wrote it down. You notice I'm not moving very much today? There's a reason for that. Yes, it's Romans chapter 6. It says this. No? Is it Romans chapter 6? It's not. I'm sorry, I lost my train. Ah, 1 Corinthians 6. It says this, Romans, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know? The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to what it says. Completely. Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor moral prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to me. Let me say that again, okay, real quick. Because that's what we like to focus on. And so we'll focus on it just for a second. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor moral prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will enter the kingdom of God. We all want to skip over verse 11 because it says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see that little part where it says, and that is what some of you were? You see, that means that they came in sinners, adulterers, swindlers, drunkards, all these terrible things. They came in and met Jesus in their sinful state. And the reason that they came in is because either someone brought them to Jesus. Remember, there was not a physical Jesus to bring them to, but someone brought them or told them the good news in their estate right then and there. And let Jesus and the power of his love and grace change their lives. He didn't wash them up and then bring them. He brought them and let Jesus work his amazing grace in their lives. And so many times I think we get in our minds that we just won't include them. Or sometimes I think we get in our minds, especially with kids, because that's what we're talking about here in Mark chapter 10. I hear this. In fact, I said this yesterday, and I feel so weird. I'm looking at JD and Andrea right now. I went to go visit them to get to know Corrigan a little bit yesterday, and so he wouldn't scream, but he probably will anyway at me this morning. He wasn't real sure of me yesterday, but I was talking to him, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but Andrea's like, oh, I'm just so nervous that he's going to get fussy and loud and start crying, and it's going to make everyone feel uncomfortable that he's getting, and she's like, will you hurry up, because he's doing well right now. Let's get this over with. But, you know, I don't want him to be fussy and all this other stuff and, you know, make people look. And I was like, you know what? I said this, and I said this point blank. I said, I don't care. Let him get fussy. Let him be loud. Let the kids, if they get interrupted, if they're talking, whatever, it's good because, and I said this with my own mouth, because the children are the future of the church. Didn't I say that? The children are the future. And anyone who has a problem with the future of our church, they've got a problem. Not you and not your child. They've got a problem. And I was wrong. I'm wrong. Andrea? They're not the future of our church. Jesus wasn't looking at the babies and thinking, man, this is going to make a great little disciple one day. He was looking at those babies and blessing them. You know why? Because he loves them now. They are important to God right now. He can't love them any more when they're a day old than they're 100 years old. He loves them so much right now. And it's not just the little babies. It's every one of his creations. He loves you. And we've got to understand that. The words on the wheel that we're accepting of everyone. Of where they're at and how they are, and we love them. We accept them where they're at because we know where God, in the power of Jesus, can take them. There's an amazing little passage in Isaiah, and I'd never recognized this before. I'm just about done. It's an amazing passage in Isaiah chapter 11. And I've used it, I've talked about it, but I've always missed this point. I just want to show it to you, and then we're going to bring little Corrigan up. How's he doing? Is he about to the screaming point yet? Maybe. All right, good. That's good. I'm looking forward to that part. All right, here we go. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. Such a cool passage. It says this, The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, and not in his tummy either. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. Do you hear what that's saying? Have you ever seen the wolf live with the lamb? They're like, we've heard about wolves in lamb's clothing. The two don't seem to really mix, do they? Think about it just for a second, okay? Are you making the jump? The leopard lying down with the goat? The calf and the lion and the yearling together? If God can do that, he can make the influential and the poorest of poor worship side by side. He can make the beautiful and the ugly worship side by side. He can make the black and the white, the yellow, the red, the green. Shouldn't have said green. Worship side by side. And he will make the righteous and the unrighteous, the saint and the sinner, be welcome. He's winding up. But here's the part that blows me away. And a little child will lead them. And it just goes right back to Mark chapter 10. Because Jesus says what? He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You see, a child will teach us humility because they're not worried about their reputation. They've got nothing to protect. They're not going to brag because they really don't have any skills. I love it. I love it when little kids want to sing. And that's what he's doing right now, whether you realize it or not. He's singing. Okay, maybe not now. But we had a talent show at PCA Friday night. Been going to those talent shows for a long time now. Kim, you know what I'm talking about. And every little kid gets up there and sings their song or plays their recitals on the piano or reads their poetry or does all the little things. And you know what? Are they perfect? Are some of them any good even? But in their eyes, they're doing something amazing. And they are. They're showing us how we should be. Here I am. Flaws and all. It doesn't matter what I sound like, what I look like, how I do it. I'm doing it because I learned this. I learned this. This is what I learned, and I want to share it with you. You know what a kid, you know, that's how a kid is. They come home from school. Guess what? 2 + 2 = 4. You're like, yeah, I know. But they're so excited because they want to tell you. They learned something, and they want to share it with you, whether you think they think you know it or not. They want to give it to you. Guess what? That's what Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be so excited about what you're learning today that you're going to go tell somebody. And not somebody that you necessarily like. You're going to share it with a whole crowd of people that you don't even know. Because it doesn't matter. I'm me. I'm me who God created me to be. I found out something absolutely amazing. I learned something fantastic. And I want to share it with you. And I want you to know that you are important to God. Is it really that hard? Are we really become so prideful, so worried about what people think and what they're going to do or how they're going to react that we're holding back the greatest news the world has ever received? That God loves you and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. He says, if you don't enter like a little kid, you're never going to get it. Because even in their mistakes, and you're going to get it wrong, you're going to misquote me, you're going to mess up this passage of Scripture, you're going to get it wrong. I'm just going to tell you that right now because guess what? You're not perfect. You're going to go and you're going to try to share this message, this thing that you learned that you're excited about, you're going to try to share it, and you're going to mess it up. Guess what? That's fantastic. That's great. Because your heart, the heart in which you want to share that good news with is what God is going to use. I read this illustration. I got to share it with you because I just love it. Little kid was trying to learn the Lord's Prayer. You know, we all have to learn that, right? Does everyone know it? If you don't know it, we'll work on it later. Our Father, who art in heaven, I know you know my name. Think about it. Our Father who art in heaven, I know you know my name. Did he get it right? Did he get it right? Absolutely, he got it right. He got it dead on. He might not have quoted it perfectly, but he got the sentiment of exactly what God was trying to say. I know you. And I love you. I know your name. So even in your mistakes, the Lord works. When we do it in humility and the love that God's placed within you. They're great examples of faith. Kids are. They're like little bulldogs. Have you ever noticed that kids are like little bulldogs? Especially if you get them like 3 or 4 and up to about 7 or 8. You know what? If you want something done, if you're having a problem, if you need something fixed, seriously fixed, I mean big stuff, big stuff, you give it to a second grade class as a prayer request. You tell them what's really going on and that you need God to intervene. And if he doesn't, it's going to be a big problem. And you take a second grader who's been raised in the Lord and has an understanding of God, who God is and what God can really do. They don't have that cynicism in there. You know what I'm saying? They don't think, well, yeah, I know God did that, but I don't think he can do it now. They don't have that. They hear that God parts the sea. They believe God parts the sea. You know what I'm saying? They believe that they raised this guy from the dead. They understand God raised him from the dead. They haven't got that little bit of thing in the back of their head saying, well, you know, I know he did it once, but I don't think he's going to do it again. They don't have that. You tell a second grader, man, I need this prayed for, and you put the heart of God in them, and they know that. Man, you got a prayer warrior army that is going to pray it into existence. And there's nothing God likes better than to work through those little kids. Amen? I want to show you one of those little kids. And some parents that want to raise him up to be a little warrior for God. Would you guys like to come up? I can't believe there's not oohs and ahs already. Here it comes. Oh. I'm staying over here for right now. He didn't try, but he sure wanted to yesterday. I'm going to read this right off the page. Oops. Okay. You just heard it. The little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. WCBC, the family, is a divine institution ordained of God from the very beginning of time. And children are a heritage from the Lord committed by him to their parents for care, provision, protection, and spiritual training. It's good when parents recognize all these obligations and responsibilities and make every effort to fully carry them out. So today in this act of dedication, JD and Andrea acknowledge these responsibilities and come before us today to dedicate themselves and Corrigan to God and his will for their lives as a family. At Walnut Community Bible Church, we dedicate children rather than baptize them. Just as Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord and Joseph and Mary dedicated Jesus to the Lord, according to Jewish customs, we believe dedication more closely follows the biblical pattern than baptism, of which we have no precedent of an infant being baptized in the Bible. Thus, this decision, this ritual does not impart faith to the little Corrigan or forgiveness of sin to little Corrigan. Rather, it is JD and Andrea public acknowledgement that Corrigan is a gift from God to them and that they have a spiritual responsibility and obligation for the Christian nurture and training of this child. So, it takes a village to raise a child. Yes? You, the members of Walnut Community Bible Church, will you receive this child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you promise to be unto him a father and a mother, a brother, a sister, and a friend? If so, please answer, we do. And now, you, the parents that dedicate this child to the Lord, do you promise, as an elder child of the Heavenly Father, to pray for and with your child, that he may grow up in the knowledge and the love of God? Do you rededicate your home as a sacred place with a Christian environment in which the spiritual nature of your child may grow and unfold, and do to promise to do all that you can in precept and example to lead your child at the proper age to a public confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to the obedience of baptism? If so, answer, we do. Let's pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are an incredible and mighty God, and I thank you for each day of life. We thank you for the love that you show us through our earthly parents. And that love takes on greater meaning when we look at it through the eyes of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of children. And we will place this one before you, most holy God. For we know that you yearn for little Corrigan's fellowship, that he should know you and serve your kingdom. Grant to these parents wisdom and patience and justice. Give them truth and faith in guiding this life physically, mentally, and spiritually to give you glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. You were just getting warmed up, weren't you? Come here and see me. Hello? Hi. Yeah, she's right there. She's right there. See right there? Yep. Members of Walnut Community Bible Church, this is Corrigan David Erickson, a blessing from the Lord. Now may God bless you now and forevermore. Welcome. Before you guys walk off here, I want to give you a couple things to kind of help you start on your way. So this certificate has been made so that you can put it on the wall of his room and be a constant reminder of this day and what your purpose is in raising little Corrigan. And this little Bible, it's the God Loves Me Bible, is a great way to get started impressing upon him even now the love of God. Let's give this couple a hand. There's something in what I just read that just kind of sparked me this morning as reading through it, that we rededicate our home. We rededicate our home as a sacred place with a Christian environment in which the spiritual nature of your child may grow and unfold. And I promise to do all I can in precept and example to help lead my child to the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. You know, your children may be grown and gone. They may still be in the home, but I don't think it's ever too late to rededicate your home as a place where Jesus will be worshiped and honored and glorified, and that the good news of Jesus will be proclaimed boldly to whomever God leads into your path. Amen.